You have arrived at your destination.
But yeah, I love NXT, but I have to preface this podcast by saying there's one wrestler in NXT that I absolutely cannot stand, and I hate with a raging rage. I don't know what else to say. You know who I'm going to say, don't you?
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Do you want me to say it? Are you afraid to say the name?
I'm not afraid to say the name. And I will tell you this. That name is one John Gargano.
Yeah.
Cannot stand Johnny Gargano.
I don't even want to call him Johnny.
Yeah. I don't want to call a grown man Johnny. Hey, Johnny. Johnny Cakes. Where's Pony Boy? But, dude, Johnny Gargano. Cannot stand that guy.
What a joke.
Do you like him at all or what? Or you disagree with me because you know how much I hate him.
Okay, look. Here's the thing is, I don't hate him nearly as much as you do.
We've just turned everybody that would possibly listen to an NXT podcast. They've already stopped the podcast.
No, for real.
I just really, tanked the listenership immediately.
I don't hate him nearly as much as you do. I just don't care.
He's just too slappy. He's always slapping
his leg.
He's
slapping
his
leg and slapping his...
Who knows?
He's a real slap dick.
Dude, he's slap nuts. In the words of Hall of Famer Jeff Jarrett. Dude, he's just like 135 pounds of like slappy McSlapperson. I don't care.
He's got bad hair.
Dude, that haircut. Bro, I always call him the
pumpkin. And what is that smiley face?
Dude,
what is that?
I don't know. Like a poor man's Blink-182 logo. And dude, Johnny Gargano's that pumpkin pie haircutted freak is what I always refer to him as, which is a line from Dumb and Dumber when they're referring to Lloyd Christmas.
Terrible
haircut.
This is the redeeming quality of Johnny Gargano.
And that guy always has chapped lips. I can't stand it.
He's always got like a booger coming out of his nose too. Have you seen that?
Oh, absolutely.
Multiple matches I've seen a booger in his nose.
He's worse than Hacksaw when it comes to the booger situation here. The booger man.
Johnny Booger Man.
Johnny Boogers. What's the redeeming factor? And then I'm going to shoot it down.
The redeeming factor is how great is it going to be to see Tommaso Ciampa just destroy him? That would be great. I don't think it's going to happen, though. That's the problem.
I don't know, man. Now, I'm looking here. We've done a little bit of research here for the NXT podcast. We're not just going to wing it as hard as we did for the WrestleMania one. We're going to sit around and be like, now who is Braun Strowman fighting? Oh, he's going against the bar. In our research here, it doesn't have that match booked, but I am sure by the time that this comes out, that's got to be a thing for TakeOver. Yeah.
That's going to be the unsanctioned
street fight.
Because, I mean, Gargano is not in NXT, let's be clear.
Yeah, he lost. Fair and square. And that was one of the greatest days of my wrestling life.
I was actually really sad when he lost because then I was like, oh, God, he's going to SmackDown.
Oh, he's going to 205 Live. He's going to be fighting Hideo Itami for the purple belt.
I forgot about Hideo Itami.
Yeah.
I miss him. I miss that guy.
RIP. He's off in 205 Live teaming with Kira Tozawa.
Oh, man.
But so I went to NXT just a couple weeks ago in Indianapolis. And this was supposed to be Johnny Gargano's farewell match, even though he had already lost on TV. They were like, he's got to finish out his dates.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole crowd was going absolutely ham.
I don't get it, man.
They were going banana over Gargano here.
One single banana.
They were going nut over it. And so, like, literally, like, people were, like, taking pictures with him in the audience, and everybody's sweating Gargano. And I swear to God, I wish there was a camera. I wish that they would replay the match for some reason on WWE Network, because you would hear, Johnny Wrestling, and one man in the audience at the top of his lungs screaming, Johnny sucks. And that one man was me.
Yep.
Literally, I was standing just, like, pointing my thumb down in a booing formation and screaming, you suck, Johnny. Like literally the whole match. And I know he saw me Like, it was one of those things where, like, where I was, he's, like, looking right in the general area.
Yeah.
This guy had to see the one guy that was not impressed.
You're sitting directly under the hard cam.
Right. Like, here I am, hard cam.
Messing up his promo.
Also, the only guy cheering for CN the entire match. Believe it or not, CN. And CN's my, maybe my favorite wrestler in NXT.
He's amazing.
One of my favorites. And so they wrestled, and he was like, I'm going to fight CN all over this damn building. And they fought right in front of me. And literally, like, I don't know if he was trying to prove a point or punk me out, but Gargano, I was just like, you suck, Johnny. Like, I just kept screaming it, dude. I couldn't, like, people in the crowd were, like, looking back at me being like, no, no, like, you can't say that. And I did say that. So Johnny Gargano, not a fan.
Yeah, Johnny Boogers.
Johnny Boogers, get a haircut and get a real job.
I went to ROH probably 2 years ago in Dayton, Ohio, and it was around the time when the Deflategate was going on with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And Tommaso Ciampa came out with a football in his pants like they were his balls, and he was talking about how he had deflated his balls and all this stuff, and he's just one of my favorite wrestlers.
Dude, I love... And you know what's so funny is I love Tommaso Ciampa also.
Yeah.
And when they were in DIY, I think that's where I first started hating Johnny Gargano.
Because he pulled Ciampa down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And every time they would ever win, Gargano got the win.
Gargano pin, yeah.
And anytime anybody lost, Ciampa had to take the loss.
It's BS, man. That's where the money is Tommaso Ciampa. He's great.
I agree. And he's come back... In the words of Booker T, looking jacked, looking real jacked.
He does. Dude, he looks like a Sicilian psychopath.
Bro, he is super jacked, mega vascular. Dude,
his balls are no longer deflated.
Absolutely not. They probably, with all the roids, who knows. But yeah, and he's been hitting Gargano with a crutch, and I love it.
Yeah, keep going. Keep hitting him, man.
Just keep making it
Can
happen.
Can we have a Singapore cane match for this?
We're going to bring back old school ECW.
Old school. Old school 2007 old school. ECW.
Exactly. We're going to bring back ECW exactly how it was 11 years ago. When
can
it was
we put
good.
Can we put a crutch on a pole?
Yes, that would be perfect. We'll do a Hollywood backlot match.
So
just like Goldust and Piper.
In all seriousness, though, this is probably going to be a no holds barred street fight, right?
I imagine so.
In New Orleans, they should do like a they should do a Bourbon Street brawl,
dude. that's good enough for me. Guys, book it. If you're
book it.
Triple
Are you
H,
listening?
You're listening, book this.
Bourbon Street Brawl.
It's not on the Wikipedia page, so watch it be on the Wikipedia. Watch it be on the Wikipedia page.
Can we tweet at Triple H right now and ask him to...
Yeah, can you make it a Bourbon Street Brawl match? Fucking... Yes, to the soundtrack of Kid Rock's WrestleMania song.
They're going
to
hit each other with hurricanes and hand grenades.
Exactly. Hurricanes and hand grenades.
That's not a hurricane rod.
Dude, by the time... Yeah, and the winner gets 1,000 beaded necklaces for the Bourbon Street Brawl.
Man.
Book it.
Man.
Guys, put it on paper.
I'd love to be in New Orleans for all this. Like, just, you know where they're hanging out. You know where every wrestler is hanging out.
Yeah.
If you want to go hang out with wrestlers, you just go to Bourbon Street, and Kevin Nash is going to be drinking a hand grenade.
Yeah, dude, he's going to be too sweet in everybody,
just
dude.
Actually, he's probably drinking Budweiser, right? Is he drinking Budweiser?
I don't know. He probably will. He probably is.
Yeah.
Just too sweeting everyone in
too
the crowd.
Too sweeting everybody. Man, that would be such a great time.
I'm saying.
And then next thing you know, Gargano and Ciampa come rolling down the brick street.
Yes, exactly.
Dirty as hell. Rolling around in urine.
I'm going to backdrop you into this voodoo shop, son.
Oh, man.
I'm going to crack a hand grenade glass. A large...
They're plastic anyway. Yeah,
a large plastic tube. I'm going to be using instead of a Singapore cane.
Dude, oh my God. You know you can go in some... I don't know, man. Somebody's going to be riding a bull.
Exactly. You know what's going to happen.
Oh, dude, it's going to be amazing down there.
And speaking of two sweet guys, we have two sweet podcasts coming together, an allied force, Power and Glory, the Mega Powers.
The Mega Powers
right
unite.
Here, dude. Exactly, dude.
We're never going to explode.
Never. Dude, it's going to pop my 24-inch guns out. if, line of
in
the
all
night.
Seriousness, if you have not watched the Mega Powers Unite on Saturday night's main event where they do the handshake, Hulk Hogan and Macho Man do the handshake. We watched it before we did our podcast tonight, and I cannot explain how funny it is. It's amazing.
We're going to have to just drop it in.
Yeah, we're going to drop it in.
Maybe
yeah.
in both podcasts. That should be the intro or outro to both podcasts, yeah, just we'll so people know what's up. But yes, guys, two awesome podcasts come together to talk about wrestling for two episodes, and this is the second. So
It is too sweet.
It is too sweet. And of course, I am the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, representing Sean versus Wild.
And I'm just regular old Jake, representing NeverNervous.com.
Just regular old Jake. Jake the Snake Hellman.
And also, I'm gonna throw this in at the beginning of this podcast. I'm in a band called Frederick the Younger.
Let's go ahead and put it out
Let's
there.
Let's go ahead and plug it early. I'm in a band called Frederick the Younger. We'll be releasing a new song April 11th. And we're going on tour with Houndmouth, so check us out.
Yeah, dude. So when you're done with your WrestleMania weekend, get into your rock and roll weekend.
You know what's really a bummer? Well, I don't want to say anything about this upcoming tour with Houndmouth is going to be a bummer, but we did have a show in New Orleans, and it got moved to Baton Rouge. So,
oh, man.
I'm kind of bummed about that.
Have you ever played in New Orleans before?
No.
It's really cool. New Orleans After Dark is really weird.
I got married in New Orleans.
Oh, so you already know. Miranda loves New Orleans.
Yeah, I was in New Orleans on tour this year on Halloween. Oh. And it was madness. It was amazing.
Madness reigns.
Dude, the Mega Powers did unite that night. And exploded all in one night.
Exploded. The 24-inch guns exploded all over New Orleans that night. But yeah, we're here to part two of our conversation here, talking about wrestling. We love wrestling, so we're dedicating two podcasts over two platforms, two networks, and talking about wrestling, absolute favorite thing, one of our absolute favorite things.
I mean, for sure. I have a tiny house, and one wall is dedicated completely to the WrestleMania sign, just so I can point at it.
Every day?
Every day.
Did you take a shit and you just point at the WrestleMania sign?
I'll see you there, shit.
We're going to have a Royal Rumble right now, just you and me, turd.
When I have a puppy, and whenever he takes a dump in the house, I just point at the WrestleMania sign.
Somebody dropped a power bomb in here, dude. But yeah, and this one, we decided this episode, we're going to dedicate a lot of our time and attention to NXT. Mm-hmm. And I love NXT.
I do too.
I watch it religiously every Wednesday. Got to watch it. Don't miss an episode. And haven't. I've seen every episode that's on the network.
So I think it went through a transition period. I think when Nakamura came up and Bobby Roode and stuff.
Nakamura.
And so I kind of have missed out on some of it, but there are so many people in NXT right now that I am just obsessed with.
Yeah.
Like Aleister Black,
yeah.
Cian Almas, Velveteen Dream. And then they're adding Ricochet. I mean, like, it's just so stacked right now. This card, we were looking at it before this podcast. This card is really something to be excited about.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And a lot of times for me, NXT, especially like for the big, you know, the big four pay-per-views always have an NXT takeover the night before.
The takeover is typically better.
Exactly. Yeah. I get so stoked for the takeover.
I don't know about this time, though.
I don't know. It's going to be... WrestleMania is always kind of hard because there's so much going on and there's so much fanfare and they pull out all the stops.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. You think they'll have pyro this year at WrestleMania?
I don't know, man.
They did away with all the pyro. What if it's all digital?
If they do another Ultimate Deletion, they got to have fireworks.
They got to have at least a couple, man.
They got to have a Roman candle
or
something.
We're going down to Bourbon Street. We're picking up a pack of sparklers. And we're going to make this happen.
I think they have to have pyro at WrestleMania.
Yeah, they have to.
At WrestleMania, they do.
At least one day a year, put that pyro in.
Yeah.
But yeah, so NXT TakeOver. And what I like about NXT is it reminds me so much of like wrestling. In part one, you probably heard that I love like USWA wrestling. My mom and my grandmother and my great-grandfather, you know, we'd go to wrestling on Tuesday nights and stuff like that. And NXT... just reminds me of a lot of like the USWA or that kind of wrestling where it's people wrestling and the storylines are told very tightly, very condensed, and they let the fighting do kind of the story progression.
Let me ask you this. Do you remember Colt Cabana when he was at...
IWA?
No, not IWA. When yes. he was at OVW.
I don't remember him in OVW. I never went and watched OVW, though I need to.
He did this character called Matt Classic. He was like
perfect.
He was a
real Matt Classic.
He was like a 1930s or 40s wrestler or whatever. His name was Matt Classic. But that's what NXT TakeOvers are about.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of Matt Classics.
Exactly. A bunch of people having outstanding matches without 45 minutes of cutting
Flo
a promo.
Rida.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, last year at WrestleMania when Flo Rida and Lunchpack Tommy or whatever his name
Lunchpack.
His name is like Lunchtime Tony or I don't know. I can't remember. Lunch something.
You did see Pitbull, though. I'm very jealous.
Was Pitbull there?
I think Pitbull was there last year.
It was Flo Rida and Pitbull?
I think so.
You know what I saw was the urinal.
That was a bathroom break match for me. When Pitbull went against the world, I used a restroom on that one.
Yeah, for sure.
When Mr. Worldwide came on.
Oh,
Pitbull.
Man,
I could talk forever about that guy. You know,
I could fist bump forever to his music.
Dude, I used to always hate on Pitbull. I'm like, who likes this? And then when I sit back and think about Pitbull, I'm like, man, that guy's just living the dream. Like, he makes music that I don't know if anybody listens to it, but he makes millions of dollars. Hangs out in Miami, jet sets all over the world.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? When disaster strikes, Pitbull's there with his private jet.
You know who's
making donations, things happen.
This will explain to you the type of people that listen to Pitbull. You know who had Pitbull as their favorite artist and worked out to him? Rick Pitino.
Oh, yeah. Rick Pitino.
Piece of garbage.
You heard it here first, guys.
No, thank you for all you did, Pitino.
We appreciate it. We appreciate all the titles we no longer have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who won that year? I don't know. I think Oregon won.
Well, here's the thing is Paul Bearer is going to be our next coach, and he's going to keep the ashes of the banner in his urn.
In his urn.
We'll still have the power.
Yes. Oh, my Cardinals. But yeah, so TakeOver's coming in red hot here the day before WrestleMania. So Saturday night, put your tape decks on record for that one. And yeah, so
what's next on the card?
Well, I was going to say, we're speculating that Tommaso Ciampa and that dork Gargano are going to have a Bourbon Street brawl. Oh my gosh.
That's amazing.
Dream match, dream booking. That's our dream booking.
I should be
here.
A writer.
Yeah, you know what? Just quit your job as writing for Never Nervous and start writing for WWE.
Dude, I used to work with this guy who was like one of those real like dirt sheet nerds.
And
it was like when I first got into wrestling and I was like, I hated the people that would spoil it for me or whatever, which I'm that guy now. But anyways.
We are these guys on the podcast unless, because we're just looking at it on Wikipedia. So
yeah.
Who knows if this is going to be announced by the time this podcast comes out.
So this guy, one day he was like telling me some dirt sheet stuff and I was just like made some smart ass remark about how he should be a writer. And he got like real pissed off about it. And then like ever since then, I still hang out with this guy sometimes. And he's still like, if he says something, he'll be like, but you know, I'm not a writer or whatever. He's like still mad at me.
And it turns out that man was Dave Meltzer.
Yeah, exactly.
That was Dave Meltzer. Well, you want to start from the top or you know what? Let's start from the top because everybody knows about this match coming up. Andrade, Cien Almas with Zelina Vega versus Aleister Black. That's going to be the main event of TakeOver, and it's going to be for the NXT Championship.
Aleister Black is my boy.
See, and I love Aleister Black, and I love Almas.
I love them both, but Aleister Black is my boy. He is as cool as it gets.
I want to give a big shout-out to Zelina Vega, because all of my anti-Johnny Gargano tweets that came out during NXT Indie, she liked them all.
Oh, that's amazing.
And Johnny Gargano blocked me on Twitter. True story.
Oh man, yeah. I love Cien. I think in the ring, I think he's amazing. I think he's like built for WWE Monday Night Raw for whatever. Like,
and especially with Zelina, I mean, it adds so much to him because I never noticed until he started doing a lot more promos recently that he doesn't speak a lot of English.
He doesn't.
At all.
I didn't know that either. That's because he's so good with his character. He doesn't have to speak.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Yeah,
and.
I'm glad he doesn't do the suspenders anymore, though.
Yeah, or the hat.
The hat, the fedora, and the suspenders.
Looking like, looking like the Godfather or something, coming out there on the ho train.
The Godfather, he could be a coach for U of L.
Oh, man. But, so Cien versus Aleister Black. This is going to be awesome. They had a match a couple takeovers ago that was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it was incredible, yeah.
I love Aleister. Dude, they're doing him up so well. Like, Aleister Black, to me, reminds me a lot of, like, and I never thought it would be done again, but Aleister Black is like kind of like a new version to me of like The Undertaker.
That's exactly what I was going to say. He's the new Undertaker.
And the thing is, I didn't know that they would ever be able to pull off a character like The Undertaker again.
Yeah, but they're doing it right.
They're doing it right. He's like, you know, black magic, you know.
Black metal.
Black metal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of guy. And dude, his entrance.
His entrance is killer.
That Nosferatu, yeah. Like slow,
oh, yeah.
Tilt on that, on whatever that is.
Also the yoga sit thing that he does.
The backflip.
Yeah.
Into the yoga sit.
What is that called?
Yoga into the Dhalsim.
Into the flower pose.
Sitting Indian style. Indian. Native American style.
Sitting Tatanka style. Yeah,
sitting Tatanka style. Maybe it's a different Indian. I'm not sure. But yeah, sitting cross-legged.
Yeah, that's right. That's the better way to say that.
Sitting on his bottom.
Anyways, the way he's able to pull that off, that reminds me of Jake the Snake, you know, or even like a Raven, the way they would like sit in the corner.
The psychology is insane. Yeah. And I would love to see, you know, somebody like Jake the Snake train someone at the Performance Center.
Oh, man.
I mean, somebody hire that man. You know what I'm saying? If they haven't already, just to teach the psychology. I don't know what he's doing,
but man, at least they should have him come in like, 4 times a year, you know yeah. What I mean? Like
every semester, once yeah. A semester, once you got to take psychology 101 with the snake.
Is there anybody big training right now that hasn't wrestled yet? I guess you know Ricochet and EC3, but they're probably not really.
That's in training right now.
Yeah, any big names that they've signed? Sure. I can't think of anybody.
They broke my heart, man. They signed one of my absolute favorite wrestlers wrestling right now, and then didn't medically clear them, and that is Io Shirai from Stardom.
Is that what happened?
Didn't clear her.
Wow.
Too many injuries and concussions. Because
I remember you messaged me whenever they signed her, and I was like, whoa, she looks amazing. So.
Yeah, she's absolutely insane. Yeah. And if you don't know who Io Shirai is, look her up on Stardom.
How do you spell that?
Io is her first name. Io, and then Shirai, Shirai.
Cool.
Also, she did a little couple-week run on Lucha Underground as part of the Black Lotus Triad. Mm-hmm. Her match with Pentagon Dark is absolutely fantastic.
Pentagon's out on the indie scene doing some awesome matches right now.
He's killing the game. Yeah. They need to get him in NXT.
Yeah, I think so.
Him and Phoenix.
Yeah.
Perfect. So, but yeah, but you are correct. I think Aleister Black does have the psychology of like a Jake the Snake.
Mm-hmm.
And he can pull off some insane moves. I mean, that match he just had with Adam Cole on the last pay-per-view, did you see that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was...
That was probably match of the night.
Barn burner.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
I think his slobber knocker.
Yeah, it was a slobber knocker for sure. Yeah. His striking is probably better than anybody else.
Yeah. Brutal in striking. The game. Yeah. But you know who is a fantastic striker? CN.
That's true. Yeah.
So this is going to be a hard-hitting match.
CN's chops are so loud.
So insane. And what I love about CN, maybe what I'm saying to you isn't ringing a bell, go back and just watch some of his matches. I remember watching a match with him versus Ho-Ho Loon. Do you remember Ho-Ho Loon?
Yeah, oh yeah.
That guy from China that was in the Cruiserweight Classic?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is what I love about CN. CN wants, to me, the psychology, the way, you know, his body language in the ring is that he wants to work a pretty snug match.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, guys, if you're listening, that means a heavy hitting match, basically.
Ho-Ho Loon was not a snug guy.
Ho-Ho Loon was like the lightest touch I've ever seen mm-hmm. on anybody, and it was so weak. And the thing is, though, is like he would persuade him to like, hey, please lay it in a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then when Ho-Ho Loon did something like hit him really weak, he would literally chop the shit out of that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's what I love about CN is like if someone's not giving him 100%, he will make them give him 100%. And I see that a lot in his matches with Johnny Gargano, that old weakling.
God.
Block me on Twitter, Gargano. I dare you. Oh, wait, you already did. Why? Because I insulted you at NXT.
CN's literally had a great match with everybody he's been with in NXT. When he first came in, he was with... No Way Jose.
No Way Jose. I actually saw them wrestle in Indianapolis.
They were great matches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, No Way Jose, I saw him come back a couple weeks ago.
What's he doing now?
Looks like he hadn't been hitting the gym. That's one thing he hasn't
been
doing.
He's a huge guy.
He is a huge guy.
Yeah.
I still love No Way Jose, though.
I do, yeah.
I went from being like, this guy is annoying to, you know what? I kind of like that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So who do you think will win this? Who's your pick? Andrade versus Aleister Black.
Well, I think... Like I said, CN is built for the big dog's yard.
The big show. The big dog's yard. The yard. I don't know if you guys know this, guys, but Roman Reigns is the big dog in a big yard, and it's his yard because he's the dog of a big yard, and he's the big yard dog.
Sidebar on that, actually.
BYD.
If you watch early 2000s WWE, Undertaker was the big dog, and it was his yard, according to Michael Cole.
That's true.
What's up with that?
You know, speaking of early 2000s WWE, they kind of they've kind of reused a storyline. Do you remember when S.A. Rios was too much of a womanizer, and he would do like that Poppy Chulo,
Pimp Daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what they did with CN when CN was too busy.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't think about that.
Romancing and womanizing. And he was losing his matches. And then he got with Zelina, and now he's focused.
But they really, like, killed it with CN. They nailed that storyline.
Dude, they literally took him from 0 to 1,000, and he's amazing.
Can Zelina Vega do anything other than a Hurricane Rana?
Well, she can like my tweets.
That's true.
And I appreciate that.
Okay, well, anyways, CN is custom built for the big dog's yard.
That's true.
So I think he's going to lose the title and be on Raw the next night.
You know, I think... I would see Aleister Black winning the belt.
Yeah.
For sure. And even if CN doesn't automatically go to WWE, I could see them kind of doing what I think they wanted to do with Drew McIntyre, where, like, you know, he loses and then he hangs around for a bit and tries to get the belt back.
Yeah.
Maybe for another pay-per-view or so.
Speaking of...
But he's ready to go.
I actually hate Drew McIntyre worse than Gargano, to be
honest.
Man,
that's crazy because I don't mind Drew McIntyre. I think he's pretty cool.
Well,
I mean, I don't know what else
I'm
to say.
He should team up with The Bar.
Yeah, perfect. He should team up with Jinder Mahal. What do you guys think? And maybe, like, Heath Slater.
Heath Slater.
He's a three-man world.
Dude, okay, we're getting sidetracked.
Sidebar conversation.
Yeah,
so you're thinking Aleister Black. I think Aleister Black also.
I think Aleister Black. I think, I think CN's going to be one of the big debuts on Raw the next night. Personally, this is the other thing that has me thinking that I saw that they might be signing Alberto Del Rio, or Albert Del Rio, as I often call him for some reason.
Albert Del Rio.
Albert Del Rio. They're looking at signing Alberto Del Rio again. And so I think they just want that Hispanic viewership.
What?
So I think it CN is money to them. They'll bring him up as a good guy.
Well, and
face.
I can see that because I feel like a lot of their Latin American wrestlers, their Hispanic wrestlers, are mostly like luchador style.
Yeah, yeah.
To have CN and Alberto Del Rio represent a different type of wrestling.
Yeah, of course.
You know, because Alberto Del Rio, CN, I should say. CN beat Nakamura for the IWGP.
He's worldwide,
Yeah, Intercontinental Championship.
He's not just like a AAA guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I could totally see CN having killer matches with AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, just as we were kind of talking about.
He's
going to
have
episode.
A killer match with... We just said he has a killer match with everybody.
Yeah. And he's going to have a killer match with Aleister Black.
What about... I mean, I could see CN with, like, Brock Lesnar. Would be awesome.
Yeah.
It would be awesome.
I would love to see it.
Yeah.
I'd love to see CN job to Roman Reigns.
Oh, that's definitely going to happen.
Whose yard is it going
to
be?
You won't have to wait very long for that one, because that's the first thing that happens when you get brought up to the red brand.
Yeah, welcome to the red brand, guys.
Welcome to my yard.
Hi, welcome to my yard. The first R in Raw stands for Roman. A for always, W for wins. Welcome to Monday Night Raw. So
that was good. I like that.
Perfect. Right off the top of the old dome piece. I'm sure there's a sign somewhere that has said that.
All right. What's the next match?
Next match. Let's go ahead and move right along. Going down the card here. I would imagine this to be second main event. I don't know. Probably second to last. Who knows? But we've got Ember Moon going against Shayna Baszler for the NXT Women's Championship.
This is a toss up to me.
This is a toss-up. Yeah, I could see that. I don't know necessarily who's going to win, but I will give you my thoughts. Is Ember Moon went from being a wrestler that I was so enamored with, like I was just like, oh my god, that finishing move, my god.
I know, but she feels like she's floundering, right?
And to me, I just feel like now they try to make her out to be this kind of like, they want to make her look kind of like Asuka, and they want her to be like Bayley on the mic.
Yeah.
And it's not working for me.
Yeah.
When the moment she kind of became like a underdog or like a victim type mentality. I was not into her because when she just came in and wrecked people.
She's a powerhouse.
Exactly. Yeah. I love the way Ember Moon gets in the ring. Have you her entrance where she just kind of jumps up and hops in like that?
Yeah.
Love that.
She's super athletic, man. She's awesome.
Fantastic. And I just don't like the character that they're portraying because I think I've just seen it one too many times.
I think there's also probably a good chance Shayna wins because it's going to be like a Ronda Rousey weekend. You know what I mean?
It's
like a Four Horsewomen weekend type thing.
And I noticed, I did say this in the last episode, but I notice every week that Shayna Baszler just gets better and better.
She's great.
She's good on the mic. That's the other thing.
She's great, yeah.
Yeah. And she's tough, legitimately tough.
She definitely stood out in that tournament. Her matches stood out from everybody's matches in that Mae Young Classic or whatever.
Yeah.
All her matches looked different, felt more important, were more brutal.
And she just seems like a total powerhouse. And as much as I love like Kairi Hojo or Kairi Sane, her original name was Kairi Hojo at Stardom. But
I didn't know that. I thought you were mixing her up with Ho Ho Loon.
With Ho Ho Loon. No. but yeah, her match with her, as much as I love Kairi Sane, I was just like, man, in real life, I think there's Kairi Sane would just be murdered by this woman.
There's no way. And also, there's nothing to Kairi Sane other than an elbow drop. They haven't done anything with her.
But she's so cute.
Yeah.
And she's a pirate.
I think Ember Moon's super cute. So.
I agree. But, you know.
If you want to talk about who's the cutest.
This is a cute contest, guys.
We might have to have a bra and panties match.
Guys, this is the part of the podcast where they started objectifying the women wrestlers. I had to tune out immediately.
That's why Million Dollar Man was right when he was talking about the Attitude Era was the bra and panties matches.
Yeah, exactly.
They were horrible.
Over the line, WWE.
Come on.
But yeah, basically Ember Moon becoming like a Bayley type character. And I didn't even really like it when Bayley was so Bayley, you know what I'm saying? Like on Raw and stuff like that. I don't know.
Gotten the Bayley character right. It's been like very short periods of time where they got it right.
Yeah. So. And they're still not getting it right in WWE.
Without that little like girl that was a big fan of Bayley, it's almost like the Bayley character is unimportant without her.
Yeah, that's true. And that girl is still at like every NXT.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder like if they just get free tickets for life.
Probably.
I would like to be in their position.
Me too.
Dude, maybe we could be like, Little Gargano.
Come on.
Oh, Jake here, Little Gargano. This is Little Johnny Wrestling.
This kid loves Aleister Black. Totally kill the character.
This kid's crazy about Aleister Black. He's got all these tattoos. What is he, 10? Yeah, a lot of tats. Tatted up. Huge demon face on a 10-year-old's back. Great. Who do you think's gonna go? Who do you think's gonna win this match?
Man, you almost have to give it to Baszler.
I would like to see Shayna Baszler win. Okay. I think Ember Moon can go ahead and move up to WWE.
Man, she's just gonna flounder there too. They gotta figure that out.
I don't know, man. Top rope stunner. It's pretty cool.
That's true. She could take the Neville path.
Yeah, get on 205 Live, become the king of the cruiserweights.
So, man, I was really digging Neville and Austin Aries.
That match was fantastic.
Everything they did was fantastic.
Adrian Neville, man. RIP. I hope you come back soon.
Austin Aries was on the mic when he had the broken orbital and he was announcing the 205 Lives. That was the best the show ever was.
Yeah, I agree. Now, do you see that Rockstar Spud is on 205 Live? He's the GM.
Dude, the first TNA I ever watched.
I know, I love this story.
The first TNA I ever watched. Miranda and I are like chilling in bed watching TNA. It's like early in the morning. I DVR'd it and she's like, what is this? So like we start watching TNA. I don't even know what the match was. I couldn't tell you, but Rockstar Spud comes out. And of course, I'm crying laughing because I can't get over the name in the first place. But he cuts his promo and all I can remember is him talking out of the side of his mouth going, what about me? What about Rockstar Spud?
Dude, you could
like, what?
My thing is you couldn't maybe woodshed that name like a little more before you decided, oh yeah, I'll just be Rockstar Spud.
I mean, that's TNA for you. That's like Crazy Steve and
Crazy Steve.
That's a legit dude in TNA.
Dirty Steve from Young Guns' brother. So, But yeah, I'm going to go. I like to see Shayna Baszler win.
Yeah, I think Baszler has it. I think it's brutal. I think she probably...
she's going to armbar.
It's going to be something. It's going to be something like that carries on past the match, and like it's like going to be a fiasco, I think.
It'll be a brouhaha. Big it might schmaz. Be a
Bourbon Street Brawl part two.
Dude, guys, every match, the stipulation will be Bourbon Street Brawls. People are going to get hit with a hand grenade. Hurricanes and hand grenades. Oh, man. Dude, that's our wrestling tag team right now. Guys, Jake and Sean are now to be known as the Hurricanes and Hand Grenades.
The Bourbon Street Brawlers.
The Bourbon Street Brawlers.
With the Beer City Bruisers.
That's our specialty, the Bourbon Street Brawl. Let's see. Moving on down the line here. This is going to be intense. This is for the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic Trophy, and it's for the NXT Tag Team Championship. So, dude, double wins here. We've got the Undisputed Era, and the Undisputed Era will be represented by Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. Now, at the NXT that I went to, I told you that I had went and saw it in Indianapolis. That was the NXT that Bobby Fish got hurt, had a knee injury. So I'm giving you guys some inside scoop. Honestly, he was fighting Heavy Machinery, and it was like kind
of... God, I love Heavy Machinery, dude.
Same.
They're so awesome.
Shakaloo!
I'm going to give you... a little insight into my life and why I love Heavy Machinery.
Because they're like the natural disasters.
I accidentally got really high one night and watched NXT, and that short, the Dozovich.
Otis Dozovich.
Was doing his dance out to the ring, and I watched it probably 35 times.
Oh my God.
Dude, I just couldn't stop watching it.
Dude, he reminds me of just like a giant bushwhacker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, they're so great.
Why aren't they the tag champs?
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Give them the belts.
Screw Authors of Pain. I do love Undisputed Era, but I'm not a... Oh, you haven't even announced. Go ahead and
yes.
Announce.
Sorry. Yes. So Undisputed Era will be represented by Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. Bobby Fish is out with injury against... as Jake spilled the beans on already, the Authors of Pain, the Artists of Paint, the Authors of Pain, and then versus the new tag team of Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne.
I saw Adam Cole live before I really liked him, and that night he stole the show. It was like after his match, I was like, wow, that was a really good match.
Yeah.
Like, that was awesome. You know, and he was just, like, one of those guys that can go in and just, like, work a match, and it's just, like, beautiful the whole way through. I really like Undisputed Era. Authors of Pain are insanely boring to me at this point. Yeah. I don't understand what they are.
Just bring them to WWE at this point. They're ready.
Let them face the Bludgeon Brothers or whatever. And
exactly.
And then Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne, I love both those guys. I'm curious to see what that tag team is supposed to be.
Yeah, well, they just wrestled, as the recording of this podcast, they just wrestled and beat, Oni Lorcan and Birch.
Oni Lorcan's another super underrated dude.
Yeah,
he's
Biff
awesome.
Busick.
Yeah, he's amazing, dude.
Yeah, I agree. They had an awesome match, too.
Yeah.
But for me, I feel as if maybe Undisputed Era will... prevail. I feel like Undisputed Era is so hot right now. I don't know that they would give the tag team championships to Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong, but anytime you want to give Pete Dunne a title, yeah. I'm 100% will co-sign.
So he
on that.
Still holds the European.
Yes, he's the UK champion.
I could definitely see those guys winning this match, and I'll say it for this reason: Undisputed Era is not going to win it because
Bobby Fish is hurt.
Not Bobby Fish.
Yeah.
I don't think Authors of Pain are going to win it because there's just nothing there right now.
And they can go to WWE.
They can go to WWE.
Be in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne, there's a story there of these two guys that are totally different. They're opposites. And it's like Kane and Daniel Bryan, or you know what I mean? There's going to be you can work off of that. And then also seeing Pete Dunne hold two titles. That guy holding two titles in his mouth is going to be awesome.
One in his mouth and one around his waist.
Yeah.
But as I said, if you want to give Pete Dunne a title, I'm definitely going to co-sign on that.
My money's on them.
I think Pete Dunne is literally just my absolute like new favorite wrestler. Like ever since I saw him on that UK tournament last year,
I love. Yeah.
Like I've just been like, dude, this guy. like, this guy's a scum.
He was like the Shayna Baszler of that tournament.
He was just, to me, he was like, he stood out. He was had great ability, but he was like a scumbag, and he was a bad guy. And what I like about Pete Dunne is he looks like a scumbag. He looks like a bad guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he does scummy moves, you know what I'm saying, where he's like kicking people's elbow.
Manipulating
and like,
digits.
Manipulating the digits. You know, and he just had match of the year with Tyler Bate, you know, last year. Yeah. This kid is on fire, and he kind of made a name for himself, I feel like, in that tournament by being like, I'm going to attack this person. I'm going to do this. Yeah. I'm going to do that. He's absolutely fantastic, and he's so over now that I think he's probably going to be, like, literally turn face. He'll probably be the same character, but people love him so much, it seems like.
He reminds me of Steven Regal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is awesome, because Steven Regal's obviously there, but, like, something about both that about him just reminds me of Steven Regal. You know, they make the same face, that frown.
Yeah, where he's just always, he always just looks like he just, like, smelled some shit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, you know?
Like... but yeah, and even when like him and Roderick Strong, they tag together, I think that their team is good because they do such powerful moves, like they're big power moves and stuff.
Roddy with those backbreakers, man. Dude, wow.
Some of the grossest backbreakers. I'm sure they'll probably do a move with Pete Dunne's, you know, pump handle.
What's their finisher going to be? Yeah. Pump handle into the backbreaker.
Yeah, probably. They'll probably do something along those lines. They have to, but that's going to be a good match no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, Authors of Pain, they can have a good match. Yeah, they're boring, but they can have a great match. I've seen them have good matches with TM61. I saw them have good matches with, you know, in the War Games match. I saw them have good matches
The War Games match was awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And with the Revival. So they can have a good match. They're just kind of boring characters.
I think they're boring to me because, like, they're supposed to be these, like, monsters, but they just, like, don't have, they haven't had the titles the whole time. So, like, they're not monsters.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
I love, too, Paul Ellering is always just like, my Authors of Pain.
Yeah. And
sometimes you'll hear, like, Paul Ellering did a promo where he goes, Akam, Reezer. And it's like, Rezar. Oh,
that's the one thing I do hate about Authors of Pain, too, is their names are the worst.
Yeah.
What is that?
It reminds me so much of Toka and Rezar from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, too.
Oh, they kind of look like turtles.
Just like dead silence. Kind of look like turtles. But yes, who do you think will win that one? I'm
going Roddy and Pete Dunne.
You know what? I changed my mind just because I love Pete Dunne so much, and I like Roderick Strong, and I think it's due. He's due a title in NXT.
Roddy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
He's good.
He's over too.
Yeah. He's been getting in really good shape also. Like, not that he was ever in bad shape, but he's getting, like, jacked.
He's in insane shape lately. Yeah.
So,
and he can go. I would love, I mean, like, he's the type of guy I want to see in an Iron Man match in NXT or something. You know what I mean? Like, just
like him and Adam Cole, like, go, maybe doing an Iron Man match or something. So,
he can really go forever. So, yeah, I think I'm going with them because Authors of Pain could move up and because the story. There's a story there. The story's going to continue. Adam Cole's got to get in the world title scene.
Yeah. And I think that's going to bring us to the next match. This hasn't been announced on NXT as of yet. I'm sure by the time this podcast comes out, you'll be familiar with this. But it's been floating around, circulating around the internet.
It's been percolating.
It's been percolating around the internet. It's been on a constant drip. Adam Cole... pulling double duty, so he's wrestling two matches.
He's going to have two matches.
He's going to have two matches. Maybe that's right. Maybe you know, Adam Cole's going to lose quickly in the tag match because he's got this match. Adam Cole versus brand new signee EC3 coming from TNA versus Killian Dane versus Lars Sullivan versus the Velveteen Dream versus brand new signing Ricochet.
Okay, let's break this down wrestler by wrestler.
Well, let's break it down here. Also, this is a ladder match.
A ladder match, yeah.
And also, this is for the brand new NXT North American Championship. They're unveiling a brand new belt on us.
I'm stoked about this.
Me too.
Okay.
I've always thought NXT needed like a second belt. A second tier belt.
That's true,
So this is going to be great. And the fact that it's a ladder match, it's going to be insanity.
So let's start wrestler by wrestler. I want to start with Ricochet because it's a ladder match. And I have an IWA DVD from like 2001 or 2 or 3 or something like that where he's in a six-man ladder match and he does a double moonsault off the top of the ladder to the outside.
Oh my God! You know you'll probably see that double moonsault.
I don't know if they'll let him do it, but I hope so.
Or that 620 or whatever he does, or whatever that's called, the 680 or whatever.
I have to be honest though; I wish he was coming in as Prince Puma.
I love Prince Puma. I love Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
But Prince Puma is great.
But I love Ricochet. Ricochet in a ladder match. This match is might steal the show. It's probably going to steal the show.
This will definitely steal the show. Yeah. I guarantee it. Yeah. And also, I mean, Ricochet, he's a Kentucky boy. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, is he Kentucky?
He's from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
That's right. My buddy Touch AC, shout out to Touch AC, the hip-hop rapper in the city of Louisville, went to high school with him. Or maybe middle school.
I said Bowling Green. He's from Paducah, Kentucky.
Paducah, that's it. Yes.
So, yeah, Kentucky boy. Got to give a big shout out to him.
Big shout out to Ricochet.
And I mean, what is there to say about Ricochet? If you have the internet and you like wrestling, you know who Ricochet is.
Highlights for days.
Exactly. The human highlight reel.
Yeah.
Who was the human highlight reel? That was definitely probably like RVD or somebody.
Yeah, I got to Google it now. I feel bad that we don't even know.
Yeah. Guys, so you know what? If you're a bigger wrestling fan than us, who cares, man? Yeah. Get your own podcast.
For real.
You know what? Put your money where your mouth is. Get your own podcast. You should be a writer. You should be a podcaster.
So, okay.
The human highlight reel. I'm pretty sure that's RVD.
This says Dominique Wilkins.
Yeah, I think it was Dominique Wilkins, yes. When his run in WWE, him versus Rodzilla versus Karl Malone. Mr. Monday Night, dude.
I don't even know.
That's probably The Miz. Maybe The Miz did that because The Miz has the highlight reel.
Sabu.
I was going to say Sabu also.
I don't know.
The human highlight reel, the most homicidal, genocidal, suicidal.
Highlight reel of all time.
Highlight reel of all time. Oh my God. Did you watch that highlight reel? It's like a snuff film.
Listen, guys, if you know who the human highlight reel is, tweet at us.
Yes, please. Tweet at Sean versus Wild.
At Snake Tut.
And
at Never Nervous 43.
And let us know who the human highlight reel was. But yeah, Ricochet. Like,
okay, who's next after Ricochet?
How about, well, let's talk about Adam Cole.
Adam Cole. I love Adam Cole.
So do
man.
I. You know, so
how is he going to pull double duty, man? They should throw somebody else in there. No way Jose in there.
Yeah, that would be perfect. Who can we get to replace Adam Cole? Have we thought about No Way Jose? Perfect. Have we thought about Tino Sabatelli, maybe? He'll take it.
Oh, God. They should throw Otis Dozovich in there.
Yeah, dude, I would subscribe. I would love it. Shakaloo. But Adam Cole, you know, it's funny. When you were asking me, like, did you ever get into the indie stuff or whatever whenever I was taking my break from wrestling, I did watch a little, like, web stream of Ring of Honor once.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Cole, like, struck me immediately. I was like, man, I saw this guy wrestle, and he was really good.
Yeah.
And it was Adam Cole, and he just wrestled the first match.
That's the way it was when I saw him at ROH. He was just
curtain jerking, brother.
He's a real curtain jerk. he was just wrestling a regular match. I can't even remember who he wrestled, but it was just like, damn, that was a killer match. Just at the end of it, you're just like, wow, that was awesome.
Yeah.
It was ROH, so like the streamer got stuck in a fan that was in the and everybody was like, this is awesome. Just chanting at a streamer spinning around.
Perfect, yes. Yeah. Adam Cole, baby, he's awesome. Yeah. I will say this, everybody loves the baby part of his entrance, but really the real master stroke is just when he's on the apron and he does that boom.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, that's a master stroke.
You know he has a master stroke because he's spent so much time as a curtain jerker.
Curtain jerker, that master stroke, bro. But yeah. And then EC3.
But do we think, before we move on, I mean, I know we're not making the prediction yet, but do we think Adam Cole has a legitimate shot at winning this match?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I genuinely do.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to factor that into my predictions. So.
I mean, perfect if say they were to retain, and then the Undisputed Era has the tag titles and the North American Championship.
That's true, because Bobby Fish could come back and defend the tag titles.
Yeah, or they can Freebird rules.
That's what I'm saying, Freebird
like
rules, yeah.
New Day, you know? Nude Day. Nude Day rocks.
That's like this one time my mom was like, I'm going to see Cirque du Soleil.
Sir du Soleil? Is that like Sir Mix-a-Lot? But yeah, so yeah, Adam Cole and the EC3. I'm not super familiar with EC3 because I just don't watch TNA.
Yeah, EC3 is a TNA guy. I did see the little bit of TNA that I tried to watch for a little while, he was definitely a standout on there, but not because of his wrestling, because of his mic work.
Right.
And even that was kind of cheesy because it was still TNA. So I'm really excited for EC3 in NXT.
Yeah, I'd like to get to know the guy.
I'm super...
in a wrestling sense, not personally.
Well, I'll tell you, any position that they're going to be in, he can lift a man
up. He will lift a man into that position.
But, you know, I'm super excited for him, but I just don't know if they're going to push him like that. I don't know. We'll see. You know, you never know with WWE, because the guy that can talk like that, he might come in and they might give him a title and, like, straight to the moon.
Yeah,
you
I mean, know? Look at The Miz.
Yeah, look at...
The guy can talk. Human highlight reel.
Kevin Owens.
Look at Kevin Owens. Human highlight reel, dude. And then, speaking of the human highlight reel, the next guy, the human highlight reel, Killian Dane, will be also in that ladder match.
I thought he was going to be in the dunk contest this year.
Killian Dane, dude. Human highlight reel. He'll be dunking over a Toyota Echo.
Killian Dane, another guy. I love his matches.
I like him too.
Yeah.
I watched him a little bit on What Culture and stuff back in the day, and he's really grown on me. Like, Sanity used to annoy me.
I like Sanity though.
Yeah. Now I'm like pretty into them over the last, you know, year or so.
You know what I like is that splash he does, like just running off the ropes.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call that, but
just a crossbody. Awesome. Crossbody. Yeah.
But it's not even flying, it's like running crossbody.
Yeah. You know who I don't like in Sanity that does that all the time? Nikki Cross. Yeah. She does that all the time.
I like Nikki Cross, though. There's something there.
She's such a good wrestler on, like, the independent stuff, but she's just, like, always, like, damp hair, screaming,
yeah,
biting a rope, and, like, doing a crossbody or jumping on somebody's back. I'm like, come on, dude. Show me a little bit more range here.
Yeah. She's ripped.
She's ripped. Look at her shoulders. My God.
Look at that body.
My God.
You want to talk about cute.
She always looks like in NXT, like as the character of Nikki Cross, they always make her look like the way a pregnant woman looks in a movie, like when she's giving birth, where they're just like hair is like super wet and stringy screaming all the time. Like that's what she reminds me of. Like imagine like Kirstie Alley and Look Who's Talking, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like give me the drugs, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. You're not wrong about that.
That's how I think they make her look.
But I mean, she is the human highlight reel.
Yeah, that's so true. Human highlight reel. Nikki Storm.
Nikki Cross.
Nikki Cross. She used to be Nikki Storm. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. But yeah, human highlight reel. Killian Dane. Let me ask you this. A-Train, Killian Dane, who has the better body hair?
Oh, man.
Or Miguel from Los Barriquas?
Miguel has the better body hair.
Dude, that guy had a Persian rug of hair, a bearskin rug of hair that went all the way from chest to back and shoulders.
But it's funny that you mentioned A-Train, though, because I've recently watched some A-Train matches, and he was way better than I remember. He's awesome in the ring.
I wonder, I was...
But I guess he was dead from the moment they named him Prince Albert.
Prince Albert, like, oh, get it? This is the Attitude Era, get it? Yeah, we get it.
Yeah, it's not good.
I always wondered what Tensai was like when it's like, oh, I'm going to tattoo your face up.
Yeah,
and
what
stuff.
Was that? I missed all that, and I don't understand.
And then he came back with the Funkadactyls.
Oh, I think Tensai was tons because he went to New Japan for a while, right?
Yeah. So, hey, you tatted your face up, bro. We really believe it. You'll be the next Hakushi.
Who's a broke-ass Hakushi?
Yeah, I was going to say, broke Hakushi. But yeah, Killian Dane, love Killian Dane, love his work,
yeah.
Love his middle part.
Yeah.
His middle part's so hard, I think he's just balding right now. Yeah. The middle. For real, it's like super white and super wide.
He's got some thin hair for sure, so.
Yeah, and then next is Lars the Human Highlight Reel Sullivan.
I love this guy and hate him because I can't watch him run on that knee anymore. It hurts me
to
watch.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It looks like he's, it's just like you see Matt Hardy run on that leg that's like always cocked out a little bit. Yeah. Lars Sullivan's good though, man.
He's a scary looking dude.
He's big, man. You know, he wasn't as tall as I thought he was.
Yeah.
When I saw him live, I was like, I pictured him to be really tall. Mm-hmm. He wasn't as tall, but he was like three times as big.
Yeah.
Like he was gigantic.
If you want to see some highlight reels of an underbite.
Oh my gosh. I haven't seen an underbite that big since Beavis. My God.
Since Beavis,
dude. It's one of the most Beavis-y underbites I've ever seen in my life. But I will never say that to his face.
No.
Because
no way.
He is ginormous.
He's got like Andre the Giant hands.
You know, I've heard that he's got like, actually, I think when I was listening to a podcast with Nia Jax, and I believe she's speaking of him.
Why would you ever?
Jericho.
Yeah, okay.
And Nia Jax was talking about him and like that they're friends, but I think he actually has like the same kind of thing that Andre the Giant had, that giantism. Gigantificationism. I don't know. Whatever you call it. That's what I've heard.
Anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Exactly. The human highlight reel. Just like Andre the Giant. And then last, but certainly not least, one of my absolute faves in NXT. I've said that many times about many wrestlers. But
everybody in NXT.
Love this guy, the Velveteen Dream.
Man, I think this might be his night.
Oh my gosh, dude. He's so over. And I always thought Velveteen Dream, like, I was like, man, he's kind of rocking this Prince gimmick. I love it. You know,
he's taken it to another level.
Yeah, he has taken it to a completely new level, and he does like the Rick Rude, like having the pants spray painted. You know,
best Instagram in the business.
I haven't checked it out. I will check it out right now.
Yeah, hold on, I'll pull it up for you because he does this thing where everything he posts is three pictures. Oh, sorry, I'm making rattling everything.
The human highlight reel, Jake Hellman.
Just a highlight of just random clicks and clacks and noises. He does this thing where everything he posts is three pictures, and so it looks like this. It's at Velveteen WWE, so you'll just see like a white picture come up on your Instagram. You see that? I know that nobody listening can see it.
Oh, yeah.
But see, it's just like, and then sometimes I'll post three of the same picture.
Oh, that's tight.
But so you go to his page and see what it looks like.
Fantastic.
It's a good Instagram. You guys should check it out.
Yeah. Velveteen WWE.
Yep.
On Instagram. Make sure you check it out. I love the Velveteen Dream. I bought into that character.
I like Patrick.
Dude, yeah. Even on Tough Enough,
yeah.
I liked him because he was like, you don't like wrestling? Then I don't like you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? That girl didn't know anything about wrestling. He's like, you don't belong here. You need to pack your shit and go home. You know? You need to study. Great. Dude, and he is great. I found out the other day, Velveteen Dream is 22 years old.
That's incredible.
Yeah. His skill is absolutely amazing, and I would never have pictured that guy to be 22 years old. He is in phenomenal shape.
At that age, think about this dream match. Velveteen Dream versus Pete Dunne.
Yeah. That would be insane.
They're both like 21, 22 years old or something.
22, 23 probably, yeah. But dude, Velveteen Dream just has got it. And dude, the fact that when he does the pay-per-view, like you said, he's got the airbrush tights, and he has his hair always like done up and everything, and he just does something special for the pay-per-views.
He has the best
outfits. Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And dude, that vertical leap, man, like that jump for that elbow drop and everything.
Yeah.
Him and Aleister Black, like that made Velveteen Dream right there. That was an awesome match.
Did that win? Was that last year?
That was last year. It was nominated. Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate.
I think they got
rivalry of the year or something.
They got
that.
Rivalry of the year. That's right. And it was an awesome rivalry too, because it was all about Say My Name.
And out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was out of nowhere.
And when I went and saw,
they built it in like 3 weeks.
Exactly. Yeah. Just out of nowhere. And when I went and saw NXT live, like people were just losing their mind as they should be for Velveteen Dream. I always thought it would be great if Velveteen Dream had like a little stable, or had like a little saying where he called it the resolution, like the revolution, but wrestle the resolution. That's game.
You know what's funny? One thing I'll say about Velveteen Dream too is that name is just so hilarious,
dude. 100%.
All I can think about is this. What was it? The Soul Man movie or whatever?
Soul Man? Soul Plane?
No, it was Sam Jackson and.
And Bernie Mac,
yeah.
Yep, I know what you're talking about.
And there was a scene where they're like, you never had a Velveteen rub? Do you remember this?
No, I never saw that movie.
Okay, well, you should definitely check it out.
I definitely will.
A Velveteen rub is a toothless beige.
Beige. Whisper it so nobody on the podcast can hear it.
Yeah, yeah, man. Velveteen Dream, Velveteen Rub.
Dude.
I'm in for all of it.
100%. Who do you think is going to win this match? It's going to be a crazy ladder match.
Crazy match. I think the crazy thing about it is this one's a 100% toss up.
Yeah.
And so nothing you could say, no pick you could make what I would be able to argue against. Maybe Adam Cole because he's in another match. But I think I'm going to go with Velveteen.
I'm going to shoot for Velveteen. Are we together
on all these matches?
I think Adam Cole actually might win this, too. I think Adam Cole might go out early for the tag match, but I think he might show up with his A game for this one.
If he goes out early, doesn't that end the match?
For the tag match.
That's what I'm saying. It's a triple threat.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, they might lose that match. It's possible.
And you think the ladder will be at the end of the pay-per-view or something?
Probably.
Okay, yeah.
I'm sure that's got to be the one, if not the main event, right before the main event.
Yeah.
I'm sure the tag match will probably be first if Adam Cole is going to be in both.
Mm-hmm.
It'll probably be book in the show. Tag match at the beginning, ladder match at the end or towards the end. But
I could also see,
I could see Adam Cole being the, this is for the North American Championship, guys. So brand new belt. And
Killian Dane is Irish, so
that's what I'm saying, dude.
He can't have it.
Who better than the Panama City Playboy, Adam Cole?
But the
Velveteen Dream, I can see him holding it too.
What about the Kentucky human highlight reel?
What about the Kentucky hammer? Daryl Isaacs. Speaking of which, have you seen that Daryl Isaacs commercial where he's riding a dragon and it's like Game of Thrones?
No.
Oh my God, it's insane. I'll show it to you afterwards. But yeah, so officially, I'm going to go Adam Cole on this one.
Well, now I'm thinking that maybe EC3 is going to get this crazy push right from the beginning.
I don't know, man. I don't know anything about EC3, so it's possible he might win as well.
I'm going to go with Velveteen Dream.
All right, dude.
But with the caveat that it could be EC3.
caviar. But yeah, so that's going to wrap it up for our NXT podcast. The Tribe has spoken. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Do you gristle D?
Do you gristle D?
Do you grizzle D? Do you guzzle D? If you agree or you disagree, I mean, let us know. And if you didn't like it, you know, or you think that we don't know much about wrestling, then get your own wrestling podcast, dude.
Please.
There's 10,000 of them.
Please. There's not enough wrestling
podcast
content out there. I need another podcast to listen to.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, guys, if you are tuning in and you found this through Never Nervous, I have been the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith. You can check out my podcast at SeanVersusWild.com. Or you can also check it out. Sean versus Wild is on iTunes. It's on Spotify. It's on Stitcher. It's on YouTube. It's on Twitter. It's on Instagram, Facebook, wherever you like to check out podcasts.
Yeah, and you can check out www.never-nervous.com. That's where you'll find this podcast. You'll find some of the wrestling articles that I write, especially if you live in Louisville. They're always related to Louisville somehow. Everything we do is related to Louisville. Check out my band, Frederick the Younger. We're going to be on tour, so we're probably coming to your city, wherever you're at. We're touring with Houndmouth. And then what else do I want to say? I don't know. I love you guys.
And we love wrestling.
Yeah. Oh, check me out on Twitter, at Snake Tut.
At Snake Tut. So, yeah. But, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. This has, you know, been two awesome episodes with my good friend Jake. We're talking all about wrestling. And we got to do it again next year. We got to make this a yearly thing.
For sure, man. And also, happy WrestleMania, everybody.
Yeah, happy WrestleMania, guys. And
happy Yesselmania.
Too sweet me, bro.
Too sweet.
Too
sweet. Sweet!
For life.
For listening, DNN.